We now bring you a follow-up on a WBEZ investigation. A few months ago, we worked with This American Life to uncover a pattern of heroin addicts being sent from Puerto Rico to Chicago. They were ending up in questionable, unlicensed treatment programs here. This raised a bunch of questions. Who was sending them? Did the Puerto Rican government know about it? And what was going on at these treatment groups? Now WBEZ's Odette Youssef has found a whole new troubling layer to this story.
These addict stories all seem to start the same way. They were hooked on heroin in Puerto Rico. Government workers referred them to fancy treatment programs in Chicago. But when they came, they found themselves in seedy flop houses, expected to shake their addiction in a no-frills, tough love setting. A lot of them dropped out and ended up on the streets, still addicted. But there was a detail in our original story that we didn't totally understand. Here's a scene where reporter Adriana Cardona Magigad went back to the treatment center with one addict. The place had taken his documents, his ID, his medical records, and his plane ticket to get to Chicago, and didn't return them after he'd left.
No, make sure those are your documents.
But his ID was not there.
Dice que no está el ID.
In our reporting, this issue of the IDs kept coming up over and over. The people running these treatment programs would tell addicts to hand over their papers for safekeeping, but frequently, they never gave those papers back. That seemed suspicious. The worst-case scenario is that they might be selling people's identities. There's added reason for concern here. Puerto Rican identities are especially valuable. Think about it. They're U.S. citizens with Social Security numbers and Spanish names. A Puerto Rican identity complete with birth certificate, Social Security card, and state ID can go for thousands of dollars on the black market. With that, you can get work authorization, a line of credit, even a U.S. passport. Which brings us to Joelle.
When you go back to this, you get totally lost. I don't even know what day it is.
I'm not using Joelle's last name to protect his identity. At 34, he's been lost in the haze of heroin addiction for years. He was sent from Puerto Rico to one of these sketchy rehab places called Segunda Vida. And like everyone else there, he surrendered his documents, all of them. When he left, he didn't get them back. Later, Joelle learned his identity was being used by somebody else.
Because when I was getting unemployment benefits, one day I went to withdraw the money and it showed as frozen. And when I went to the unemployment office, I was told that they had to stop payment because it appeared I was working in Alabama and that I had additional income there.
It seemed like identity theft, but Joelle didn't know for sure. So I took down his Social Security number. With it, I got a rundown of his earnings over the years. And what I found were classic signs of identity theft. First, Joelle says he hasn't held a steady job in years, but his record shows continuous earnings for nearly a decade. And a lot of it is work with temporary staffing agencies and food processing companies, two industries known for hiring undocumented immigrants. Because of how this looks, I called a man named George Rodriguez at Segunda Vida and shared what we found. He strongly denied that the group sold addicts' identities. He insisted they only confiscate papers to keep them safe and said everyone gets them back. But Joelle is not alone. I found a guy from another one of these programs who had an even crazier story.
They kept my papers, my Social Security card, my ID, my birth certificate, everything.
Juan was told that the rehab program lost his papers. Then last year, he got his first inkling that something was up with his personal information.
When I tried to get credit to purchase a car, they said no because my credit was ruined.
So I took one Social Security number, too. I showed what I found to several experts, and each time basically got this reaction.
Wow. Well, I know they say America's the land of opportunity, but boy, has his income jumped since arriving on the mainland.
This is Bill Cressy, a professor at Governor State University and an expert on ID theft.
In the years 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, and 2001, he had zero reported earnings.
The thing to note about Juan is that he came to Chicago in 2003.
Suddenly in 2003, it jumps to almost $30,000 and then almost $44,000. And oh my goodness, $116,000, almost $168,000. Wow. Yeah, this is remarkable.
There were even earnings during times that Juan was in jail for theft and residential burglary. I mean, here's the picture that his records paint. A guy processing beef in Washington State, removing snow in Illinois, working at a Wendy's fast food restaurant, and holding 13 other jobs all in 1 year. There are some things we can't say for sure here. Like, we can't say that Juan and Joelle's identities were sold by the drug rehab programs. We can't say that everyone who's gone to one of these programs is a victim of identity theft. I can't even say for sure that Juan and Joelle didn't sell their identities themselves. They both said they didn't, but that's a known thing among some Puerto Rican addicts. Still, Bill Cressy says there's something here.
Definite red flags to show that there is probable cause to go ahead with a further investigation, in fact, a criminal investigation into this. The numbers alone should justify a criminal investigation.
It's not just Cressy saying this. I talked to lots of officials who said the same. A federal prosecutor, a former Chicago police officer, two former FBI agents, someone with the Social Security Administration, the Illinois Department of Human Services. They agree that if these treatment places are organized schemes to set up vulnerable drug addicts for identity theft, somebody should go after them. But nobody agrees on who should look into it. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan's office says it's a matter for Chicago police or the FBI. Chicago police and the FBI say there's nothing to investigate if victims don't report a crime. Immigration and Customs Enforcement doesn't talk about whether it's investigating something. And the Social Security Administration says it lacks jurisdiction to investigate identity theft. So at this point, we know we have something. We just don't have anyone willing to investigate it. Odette Youssef, WBEZ.